It's time. Time to get inspired and empowered. To realize it's never too late. To create your next amazing story. Get ready to break through, transform, and start living the life of your dreams. So, are you ready? Truly ready to begin your journey to create your next amazing story in life and love? Great. Let's jump in with your host, Life and Love Transformational Coach, Suzanne Oshima.
Welcome, everybody, to the It's Never Too Late show. I'm Suzanne Oshima, and I'm a Life and Love Transformational Coach at Your Next Amazing Story. I'm so excited because we have a very special guest today, Lisa Nix Balthazar, and she's a love and intimacy coach. And today we're talking about how it's never too late to believe in love again after loss and heartbreak. And Lisa has such an amazing story, and I can't wait for her to share it with you. But before we jump into her story, Lisa, I would love for you to share with the ladies how you became a love and intimacy coach.
Well, first, I just want to say again, thank you, Suzanne, so much for having me on your amazing show. And the way that I fell into it was really just about every human on this planet experiences heartbreak and loss. I mean, if you're going to love, that's part of the path. Pretty often. And I did in a really profound way. And the way that I found love again is such an amazing story that as I started sharing it with people, I realized that it was giving them hope. And then I'd have people come back and say, I opened up my heart and I found love again after hearing your story. And it made me realize that I could share my story, I could share the tools that I used and help people. And so it just kind of was my life journey, my life calling, my soul purpose.
Oh, well, and we are going to jump into your story, but full disclosure to all the ladies is that Lisa and I met at a conference and we had to do an exercise where we had to share an intimate story about ourselves. And we only had 5 minutes. Imagine trying to tell something, a life story in 5 minutes. And there was a group of us, and I remember sitting in the circle, and Lisa tells her story in 5 minutes. By the end of the story, I have tears just streaming down my face, and I was like, oh my God, you have to share your story with my audience because it's so amazing. I know they're going to love it. So, Lisa, let's jump in. Tell the ladies your amazing story.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I will. I'm just going to start off by saying, I mean, have you ever loved someone so much that you felt like you shared the same heart? That's how I felt with Keith. We met when we were 16 years old. We were born on the same day and the same year. I was 2 hours and 20 minutes older than him, and I would love to joke that he liked older women. We were true soulmates. We had this amazing life together, and we got married and had children. Jump forward 27 years later, at the age of 42, Keith was diagnosed with the worst kind of brain cancer. I'll never forget, I was sitting in the emergency room as the doctor put up a scan of his brain and pointed to these irregular markings and said, it may be cancer. Everything froze and I held my breath for what felt like an eternity. Cancer. 4.5 months later, he was laying attached to life support, surrounded by our entire family and our two beautiful daughters. I had to make the painful decision to remove the life support, and I laid my head on my husband's chest, and I heard the last beat of his heart. A part of me died that day with him, and I felt just lost and alone. And I would for months sit on the floor in my living room and just stare into space and sometimes wish that I too could be dead. But I had two daughters and I had a life that I needed to live. About a year later, this man, tall, dark, and handsome, came into my life and he just fell madly in love with me. And I could feel that my heart was starting to heal a bit and to open to love. And about a little over a year later, we had plans to marry as we moved into this big home with his two sons and my two daughters. And about 4.5 years later, when I was nearing my mid-40s to late 40s, after a game of push and pull with my heart, he He never stepped up to the plate and married me. He broke off the relationship, moved into another room, devastated me, told me he was no longer in love with me. And when I thought it couldn't get any worse, Suzanne, he got engaged to another woman that he was seeing while he was still living in our home. It literally felt like the scab was just ripped off of my healing heart. I felt like my body was plugged into an electrical socket. I had vibrations of anxiety constantly going through me. My life had fallen apart twice. Something in the morning made me get out of bed. I had to go someplace that fed my soul. I just wanted to stay in bed nonstop. But I drove down the Big Sur coastline. It feeds my soul, the jagged coastline with the rocks and the ocean sparkling. And I just cried nonstop. I got to a place called River Inn, where I love to sit in the river on these wooden branched chairs. And I wrote in my journal, crying all day long. And the couples walking by, I hated myself for hating them. Why could they have love? Why didn't I? But as I wrote, I found myself reaching deep into my heart and my soul. And I wrote the words in big, bold letters, I believe. I believe I will find love again. I wanted to believe that with every part of me. I walked up to this little store called Heartbeat, and in the corner was this beautiful display of candles. One of them spoke to me. It was red, and in Boston and in black ink was this heart surrounded by thorns. And I thought, that's perfect, love and pain. But it was the words, eternal love, discovery of a soulmate. Discovery of a soulmate. I was on such a journey of discovery. I bought the candle. I had to have it. I set it on my bedside table and I lit it and I watched the flame flicker as I found myself closing my eyes and I said, I surrender. I surrender to the universe to please guide to me someone who can embrace all the love in my heart. Here I was, never being in the dating world because I was with my husband from 16 on, and a woman approaching her 50s, I live by myself for the first time and I go into the dating world. It was quite an experience and often made me want to pull back and think, there's never anybody right for me. But I kept believing and I would go back to this candle. And for 2 years, I lit this candle frequently and I would say those same mantra, please guide to me someone who can embrace all the love in my heart. My journey took me to of the craziest place called Burning Man, which is a festival in the desert with about 60,000 people from all over the world. But what made me want to go there was that there was this temple that they burn on the final night to honor those that have passed. So I took some of Keith's ashes. I wanted to take the candle, but I thought it would melt. So I took some of his ashes, and on the second night there, and I was a little nervous being a woman going to this crazy festival, but something in me made me go. The second night, I was invited into a motorhome, and I was met by men and women kissing me passionately on the mouth. And I went, oh my God, I'm at Burning Man. But there was one man sitting quietly at this table with his hands under his chin, and he had blue glitter in his beard. He had really sweet brown eyes, and I was a little indifferent to him, but something in this festival spirit made me walk up and say, oh, I guess I should give you a kiss too. And I bent over, thinking nothing of it. So I bent over to give him an innocent little kiss. And when I stood up, Suzanne, it was, I'll never forget it. It was like my whole being, my whole body just went. I felt like maybe I had been holding my breath since I heard the word cancer 8 years before. I felt peace wash over my entire body. I felt like I was home and I didn't even know his name. So I said, I think I'm going to give you another kiss. We walked for hours out to the desert and danced. And at about in the middle of the night, 2 in the morning, we were by the temple where I would take Keith's ashes. I learned a lot about him. He was very interesting. But I knew he had a business for 10 years. And I said, what's this business you had? And he said, I owned a high-end candle company. And we made candles with messages we sold all over the world. I stopped dead in my tracks. I said, did you have a candle that was red with a heart on it that said something about a soulmate? He looked at me and he said, yes, eternal love, discovery of a soulmate. It was our biggest seller. I stood there, Suzanne, and I looked out as far as my eyes could see. There were 65,000 people from all over the world, and I was having this connection with this man who was the maker of my candle. 4.5 years later, we lit that candle. I was 55, and we got married at that same place where I stood on the banks looking down, where I had written those words in my journal, I believe. And you can never, ever give up on believing because magic happens. And that's what I'm here to share with my story.
Oh my God. I think every woman listening to your story now just died because it's so amazing. I mean, there's so many serendipitous moments in this story that, I mean, it's you can't explain it. You can't explain it, right?
No, you can't. And I think one of the big things, every time I tell this story, I think about there were multiple times I almost didn't go to Burning Man for many reasons. I was afraid. I didn't know if I could do it. I had a friend that wanted to go. She couldn't go, but I went with my calling. And also, there were so many times when I was dating that I wanted to give up and close off my heart and not love. And something inside of me and that candle gave me hope. And then to me, it was like the universe was showing me this is what happens when you really stick with your heart and you believe. There are other tools that I used also, but I'll never forget that moment when he said was the maker of my candle. It's just like, I mean, honestly, I think I shared with you, I have a book coming out called Believe, my memoir, because I shared this story with a man who was a screenplay writer for Hollywood movies. And he said, this needs to be a movie. This is a profound, magical story that's real life. It's like a Hollywood movie, but it's real life. And I've had other people that I've talked to come back and share stories where they opened up their heart and they have their magical moments happen because when we feel pain and when we feel hurt, we often think we want love, but we're really not completely open to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. If someone hasn't completely healed, they can say, I'm ready for love, but deep down inside, they may not be ready. And they may go through all the actions, but then they may do things to sabotage it, or
Yes.
things may happen, and then they can't figure out why it's not happening. So
Yes. And
after, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, one of the things I wanted to say is that I found when you said completely healed, like I know I'm never going to be completely healed by Keith's death. You know, I have granddaughters now, and I walked my daughter down the aisle when she got married, and there's still these moments of profound sadness around his death. There's still these moments that I'm triggered by the man that betrayed me and got engaged. But what happens is when you find that right partner, that right soulmate, I continue to do even deeper healing through that relationship. Healing that I couldn't do on my own because it's about opening up and trusting in that intimate connection. And I just felt like I wanted to say something about that.
Yeah, that's really important. And I want to go a little bit deeper into that about the loss of your first husband, Keith, because I want to ask you about that. Because you talked about how, there was a point where you just didn't want to get off the floor, right? I mean, it was so devastating for you, yet you went to you found this man about, was it a year later, did you say?
It was very fast. It was a year later. And I even asked my therapist, is there something like, what's wrong here? Why am I moving my heart so quickly? She said that when you've had a really deep love and a great connection, it's very common that people who have had that find it again because it's almost an honoring of. I mean, people did pass judgment on me and said, how can you love so quickly? But at the same time, it was an honoring of, I know what it felt like to be loved, and I wanted to love again. And it didn't mean any less love for Keith.
Right. So can you share with the ladies, because I want women to hear that who have lost their husbands, about like maybe a couple of things that you did to help heal yourself in that process in the year to help you move on?
Well, one of the most important things that I did is I joined a grief counseling group through hospice. I honestly, when I went, I didn't want to do it because I walked in, I was 42, and all the other women and men were in their 70s and 60s and 80s. And I just felt like I'm not supposed to be here. But grief is grief and loss is loss. And being with people who have experienced that, I even had a man who was a gay man in that group who had loved a man for 20 years. When you lose somebody you love, the people that understand that the best are being in a group with other people who are going through that process. So that was one thing that was very profound and healing for me. I did a lot of reading. Books helped me to understand better some of the crazy things I was doing. I understood that I wasn't alone because I'd read about other women doing that. I did a lot of journaling and writing. I actually talked to Keith a lot. I would have conversations with him, and I allowed myself to feel the pain and to cry. I allowed myself to get into a fetal position, and I mean, I dropped to my knees and had pain like I had never had. But the truth was is that ultimately I knew that if I had died, I'd want Keith to love again. And I knew we had talked about that prior to him being sick, if something ever were to happen to one another. And then we would joke, like, but of course you would never love that person as much as you love me. And so it was, as an example, my husband's mother, my mother-in-law, her husband died at a young age. She never remarried. She has told me many times, she's 83 now, she's told me, I wish that I could have trusted and opened my heart. She dated a man who she didn't really love. She never really opened her heart. She's had tearful conversations with me about how she wishes that she could have still loved Billy, but opened her heart and found love again because she sees what we have found. And I have a really profound relationship with her. So if that can speak to any woman out there, I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're 60, 70, how old you are. If you choose to open up your heart to love, magic happens. I just believe it completely.
Oh, I love that you shared that story with your mother-in-law because it's interesting to see both sides of the coin of you were able to move forward and find love again. And then you have your mother-in-law who had this regret. And I think it's important for women to see that we don't want to get, older and get to that point where we have that regret of, oh, I wish I did whatever it was, right? Or what if you want to say that you did. It and say, wow, I lived an amazing life, right? And I found love again. So when you found love again, what was your second boyfriend's name, the one that you moved in with? Tom. So when you were with him for how many years?
Four and a half.
Okay, so for 4.5 years, here you are in love, and everything's moving forward because to buy a house together, that means, we're moving forward, and this relationship is very serious. What would you say is your biggest learning point from that relationship that you look back and you go, I wish I could have done that differently?
That's a really great question. Thank you so much. As I said in my story, I met Keith when I was 16 and I was with him till 42. So I never really experienced the whole dating experience. And my life with him was such a magical kind of fairy tale, born on the same day and all of that. So when I met Tom, I realized I had a rule with myself that I would not move forward into a committed engagement or moving in together till I spent a whole year together. And towards the end of that year, as we were looking for a house, I realized in the deepest part of myself that what I was really wanting so much was that security of feeling, we were going to get married, we were moving in, his divorce wasn't final. Had I just kind of put on the brakes a little bit, which was difficult because I had a young child at home and he did, and we were very much in love and we couldn't spend nights together because of having children. So I pushed too fast. And the thing I would learn from that is patience. I think it's one of the things I'm raising my third set of teenagers with Chris, who I'm with now. And had I had a little more patience, I might have seen some of the red flags in the relationship. However, I am a strong wiser woman for going through that. And the appreciation and gratitude that I have in my marriage with Chris, I don't think I'd have that deep level had I not gone through that pain and that devastation and that loss and emerged a stronger, wiser woman. So it's kind of a catch-22, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So your first husband passes away, which is devastating in and of itself. But then to find the second relationship where you're moving towards marriage, you think he's the one again, and then you find out he's cheating. So here's major loss, betrayal. So Lisa, share with the ladies how you were able to have the courage and the strength to open back up your heart, because you could have easily just put the walls up around your heart, around you, and just said, that's it. I'm not going to try again.
There were so many times that I did that and I struggled with that. I mean, I am someone who loves to love. And because I had that foundation of that 27-year relationship, and even if you don't have that, even if I'm speaking to a woman out there who's had this amazing love for 5 months, 6 months, whatever, you've experienced that, that's something for you to draw and hold on to. And I just knew that I had so much life ahead of me. And I knew with Keith's death that, like, I had to live my life to the fullest, almost to honor him. So what would happen is, for instance, when I was in my dating mode, Suzanne, I had three different men that they were crazy about me, and they were going through separation and divorce. And each of them, once they became crazy about me and happy, their ex wanted them back. And they called me in tears and ended up going back. I felt like I was a magnet for men to get their wives back. Those were times where I wanted to close off and say, I can't do this. It hurts too much. But there was something about that candle. There was something about choosing something that cemented for me that there was this vision and this hope that I believed. It's a big world. There's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of people. And it's really putting yourself out there. I mean, if you don't put yourself out there, it's not going to happen. If I hadn't gone to Burning Man, if I hadn't bent over to give him a kiss, I might have not ever known that. So, I call it, when my coaching, magic in motion. It's like you can want magic in your life, but you have to take the motion part. And when I did close off my heart and I thought I wasn't going to look anymore, I did fill my life. I was very happy. I was full. I was a designer. I played tennis. I was a fitness. I had a full life, traveled, but I was missing that component of sacred intimacy and a sacred love. And I knew I was missing it. So that was the driving force, that I knew I wanted that and I was going to keep working towards it. And I was rewarded in a huge, beautiful way. So I'm glad I did.
So how important is a woman's belief system about herself and that she will find love again in this whole process?
Huge. It's so, so huge. I think what often happens, and it did happen with me, I was beat down so much in those 4.5 years with Tom. He played a game of push and pull with me. And the things that he fell in love with me, the deeper part of that story, Suzanne, is that he actually started to verbally attack me for some of those things. So it often, when you have a relationship fall apart, your self-esteem goes out the window. You're questioning, am I worthy? What's wrong with me? Why can't I have a relationship? And that's where I spent that time really finding Lisa and doing the things that I loved with a passion and learning about me on a deeper level. And I went through a woman's workshop for 4 months called Break Free. And I processed, I really worked on myself. I fell in love with myself. When we do our workshops, we have people write a love letter to themselves, even if they don't believe it. And by the end of the workshop, they open this envelope and they feel everything that they wrote. It's a work in progress, because if you don't love yourself, then how can somebody else love you that deeply? And we're all, every single woman listening to this, every single woman out there is an amazing woman with an amazing story, and they just have to believe in it. And that's why my book is titled Believe, and that's why I keep bringing up Believe. It's not easy. It's not easy. And that's why, did you know, I just found out a few months ago, because I'm training to do a TED Talk, and loneliness is an epidemic right now. It is in such big proportions that it's worse than smoking. Loneliness is huge. And so many people were more connected because of this internet and podcast, but yet we're also more isolated. And so going out, going to Burning Man, going to wine tasting, dating, et cetera, it just put me out there. And I started to call dating my science experiment. I thought, okay, I'm going to call it a science experiment. I'm going to learn about men. And I realized that the ones I didn't really want to spend time with trashed their ex. And the ones I wanted to spend time with talked about what they learned and how they became a more deeper, compassionate man.
Right. And can you share with the ladies, because I think this is an important point, about why that's a red flag when a man trashes his ex?
Well, the first thing, which I saw it over and over again, is they're taking, it takes two people. And even though Tom left me and ended up getting engaged to another woman, I realized there were aspects of my personality within that relationship that I could have handled it differently. I think that relationship still would have ended, but I myself personally am now a better person in the relationship and the marriage I'm in now. And so when they're trashing and calling them names or saying it's all their fault, I'm realizing they've done no growth. And I think there's such depth. You sit there and you say to a man, even if he's hurt, my husband, his ex-wife left him. His wife left him, and it'd be very easy. And she cheated on him. It'd be very easy for him to talk poorly about her. But what he was saying is how much of a goddess she was, what a great mother she was, and how it was difficult. He didn't understand why he left her because he was a good husband, but he didn't trash her. And he continues to step up to be even more there for me because he learned from that past. So you're going to get a really deeply soulful, spiritual, wise person when they are not putting the blame on everybody else. They haven't looked at themselves at all then.
Right. And it also tells me that they haven't healed either if they're still trashing.
Yeah, there's a lot of anger.
Yeah. And it's about letting go and moving on, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important that people realize that, you know, no one's perfect. I'm not perfect. Lisa's not perfect.
Nope.
And it's important that we all realize our own stuff instead of just pointing the finger at, oh, it's their fault. It's their fault. It's their fault. It's sometimes we have to look within and say, what part am I playing in this relationship? And I'm not just talking about romantic relationships. I'm actually talking about all relationships,
and
work,
so
or
true.
Friends, mm-hmm. or family, because how we handle one thing is how we handle everything. I was taught that by Jesse Itzler, who is Sarah Blakely's husband. And once he said that to her, I was like, that's so true. We do everything the same in all parts of our life, right?
Yeah, it is. It's really true. And it just makes your life richer and better when you improve. If you improve in work or friendships or relationship, you know, a little side note, Tom did come back. The relationship and the engagement fell apart. And the way he tried to get me back was through saying how he missed our passion and our sexuality. And it just made me realize just how shallow that was. And by the time he wanted me back, I didn't want him anymore. And it's interesting how that happens. It's like you think you do because of your ego, but then you realize you deserve better. And I know a lot of women and men get in that cycle of going back, and then they just repeat and fall apart. So back to your question about how do you love yourself? The more you find yourself and what you really deserve, the more you're going to pull in somebody who, that's why my mantra was, please guide to me someone who can embrace all the love in my heart. Which Chris does. I want to love with the complete abandon of everything I'm possible for and not hold back. And that's like living life, like what you just said, Suzanne. It's through work, through friendships, through relationships. Live it in integrity and fullness and learn, because I make mistakes still left and right. I'm still struggling. I'll never be perfect. Perfect's overrated.
I know. I agree. Well, this has been amazing. So, Lisa, can you share with the ladies how they can find you?
Yes, definitely. Well, I have a wonderful website. It's Sacred Soulmates. It's www.sacredsoulmates.com. And if you go on there, you actually can get, if you click on and register for our website, you're going to get our number one sacred tool for sacred intimacy. And this tool actually isn't what you're thinking. It's not about how to have crazy intimate sex. It's really intimacy on a deep heart connection level. And this tool will actually not only help you in pulling in a sacred soulmate and in really going deep with more passion and love than ever before, it's also going to help you with just your life in general. I love how you brought that up, Suzanne, that it's across the board. So www.sacredsoulmates.com.
Awesome. So ladies, go to Lisa's site and you can get that. So thanks everybody for joining us on the It's Never Too Late show. Our show is available both in video format and podcast format. If you would like to view the videos or get the podcast, you can go to yournextamazingstory.com. And if you would like to get our free ebook, How to Create Your Next Amazing Love Story in 3 Simple Steps, you can click right here on the video or you can go to yournextamazingstory.com.
Love today's episode of the It's Never Too Late show? Then head on over to yournextamazingstory.com to continue the conversation, get access to show notes, and get more amazing content.